Bright Lights Pathfinders. We are all a bright light searching for the Pathfinder's way. Hello, I'm Kathy Cook, and I'm your host on Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock Pacific Time. That's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So listen up and tune in to Station 1 on BBSRadio.com. It's a positive power production. Unique perfection evolves. Exquisite feelings awaken. Producing passion style.
Hello, this is Kathy Cook, and this is the Bright Lights Pathfinder Show. You have been listening to Devotion that was composed by Ronald Nordman. He is a very wonderful composer. He hears his music that is so far beyond sound that he has heard it since he was a little boy, and he is just now bringing it together and figured out how to write it onto paper. And he's getting ready to come out with 10 more pieces, or is it 11? I wish he would call in so that we could discuss it, but he's getting ready to come out with a whole other CD. And we're going to work on how to get that for sale so you guys can get a piece of it. I want to also say that today we had a tragedy in our family. My uncle's granddaughter was run over and killed. And I don't know really the details, but if you could just give a prayer out to Erica Nordman's family, that would be really great. It's just horrific out there with what's going on in this world today. So if we could take a moment of silence, and I mean, I'm still on the air, but I'm just going to take a few moments and let's just really be quiet and give a little honor to Erica that was 19 years old, and prayers out to her father, Eric, and her grandfather, Henry, and her grandmother, Faye. Thank you so much. And thank you for the prayers and the uplifting of that family. As we were all together just 2 weeks ago, and I had not seen them in years, and I hadn't seen her since she was a little girl. I still didn't get to see her because I'm getting ready to have something go on with me. I have tests tomorrow, an ultrasound on my neck. As y'all notice, my voice is getting deeper and deeper as I come on the air. I've got some kind of gorge or something going on in my throat. So send me some prayers. I'm in good spirits though, so that's a good thing. But I want to also talk about today is, you know, Easter's around the corner. And who's getting their little Easter bonnets ready for their children? Who gets their children all dressed up and you don't know what you're going to put on them, so you get the little Easter dresses and the crinolines. Oh, I remember the crinolines my mother used to put around my dress to make my dress stand out so perfect. And the boys would dress up in their best little ties. And we're dialing eggs this year. My son and my two boys used to call it dialing eggs for dying eggs. We're definitely dialing eggs Saturday night. You have to excuse me, I just woke up from a deep sleep, but feel very content and rested right now, but also a little scattered. That's okay. Hey, CBS Radio is the number one radio station on the planet, and I'm getting ready to talk about what we were talking about last week. I'm going to complete it. The call-in numbers are on the front of the Station 1. Give me a call-in if you get a chance to have anything to say, or I would like to dedicate this show to prayer requests. If anyone has a prayer request, because if we could pray for one another and uplift one another in the highest manner, then you can imagine what that would do to the world. We could turn the world around, y'all. We could turn the world around. turn the world around on its axis because it's flipped already sideways. The bridge and path and the gate within where God's so narrow. You remember us talking about that last week, about the gate being so narrow? And the reason is the matter of fact is for balancing. All of our offices in which has completely stayed equal is like all that's born of passion, the reason and meaning and the purpose of choice. Our gifts of free will, our understanding, not answers, is the matter of fact. If you look in the dictionary, the reason I just said that out of clear blue is I'm going back into last week's show. Passion. Look up passion in the dictionary, Webster's Dictionary. I'm going to take a second and search that because this is really I'm not going to tell you what it is, sorry, okay? Let me just get passion on. Okay, passion. What does passion mean? Now that means Jesus dying on the cross. What it means, Jesus dying on the cross is the definition and the representation of passion. Now that's been there since I was a little girl. It's in Webster's Dictionary, okay? Now, what does that mean to you guys? Passion runs deep. Passion's strong. Passion is a thing that is beyond. Passion is like the word. One person wrote me a letter one time and said their passion runs so deep that they love so much of what they do that the depth of their passion is the depth of the anger that becomes evolved when things are not seen or done precisely right. That passion of love that's so deep. The color red represents passion to me with, the candles or whatever, and you have to be very careful with the color red with passion because of its opposite. The depth of the love that you have for something or someone, the depth, like my family, my brothers and sisters. Seems that our family changed when my dad died in 2005. Daddy was a strong Christian man, and his maybe last words were, "I'll see you in heaven. Everybody, make sure you get to heaven." And I don't know. He put a ring on my finger on the 23rd of February, 2005, and it had three diamonds in it, and it was a little simple gold ring. And he said, "You are now married to the Lord." I didn't quite know what that meant at the time. But since then, without even thinking about it, I've dedicated my life and almost 24/7. I sleep when I can and I'm awake whenever, and I'm lucky that way because I don't have anyone I have to answer to but the Lord. But I look back and everything I do, see, feel, think, hear, breathe, is for the Lord. And so we all have our personal relationship with God. It's individual, it's unique, just like a marriage. You over there maybe have a relationship with him that isn't the same as mine. Nobody has the same relationship with the Lord, But I tell you what, 2,000 years ago, I'm a great man walked on this earth. And I'm not here to... Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Miss Kathy.
Hi, could you speak up?
I'm from Louisiana.
Hello.
Hi. There's a big echo, but it might die down.
Do you have your computer on?
No, I'm at the other
there
end of the
are.
House.
There you are. Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
What's your name?
I still hear a really big echo.
Who's speaking?
Kim.
Hey, Kim.
I'm calling for a prayer request.
Oh, that's great. Who are we going to pray for?
my son, my dad, my son's husband, my ex-husband, my son's father hurt him in a very bad way.
Your ex-husband hurt your son in a very bad way?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm at the beginning of a criminal and a civil lawsuit against him.
Okay. Okay, Kim, would you like to start it or would you like for me to?
Yeah, I'd like for you to.
You'd like for me to?
Yes, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're two or more together in your name. You hear us and it shall be done. We just pray for Kim's father, Kim's son, and the situation that's about to come at hand. We ask you to give Kim strength and her son strength and the understandings that we maybe not understand at this moment of why the ex-husband hurt the son this manner. But you know the reasons and the understanding. We just ask you to just lift up and give strength and hope and understanding for the way that this action of this lawsuit should come about. Keep this young man safe and from harm's way ever again. And we pray that it never scars him in any way, shape, or form. That you hear a mother's prayer in the utmost prayers of all prayers, it says in your Bible. And this is a mother that is praying to you and just using me as a voice. And as this mother prays, just lift her up. Just lift this mother and son up into the highest realms, that nothing or no one can harm them ever again, and that whatever happens with this lawsuit, that they don't feel any more remorse or hurt from the lashes or the hurt that the ex-husband has placed upon them. We just ask this in your name, that all good and glory and everything spoken, said, and done is used to the good and glory of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Ms. Kathy. That was beautiful.
Well, thank you for calling in. And I just pray that the holy angels are around each of you, kissing your pillows every night.
Oh, thank you so much, that's
thank
beautiful.
You. You're a special gift, you know. You're a special mom.
Oh, thank you so much.
Takes a lot of courage to do what you're doing. And that's a good thing. And it's just going to unfold so gently and easily.
Oh, thank you so much.
It will. It'll just fold just so gently and easily because you've got that faith and you've got that care and love inside of you. And, you know, we learn from these situations. We don't know what they are at the time, but we always learn something. And with strength, it's not so much the strength of endurance, but I learned something, Kim. I learned when I got brutally beaten and raped that I got stronger. And it's like that of a strong man. You know how you get the weight to put on your body?
Yeah.
It feels like you can't take any more. It's because we're like that of an athlete.
Yeah.
And it just gets us that much stronger each time those weights are placed upon us.
Yeah.
I hope that helps you.
It really does, Ms. Kathy, and I want to just thank you so much for the love. I can feel the love come in from you in my heart chakra, and I can feel the waves of protection, and I can tell that you see what I see, which is there will be justice for my son, and
right.
There will be healing
Definitely.
For my family.
Definitely so. And
yeah.
Just pray for no scars to be upon him. No
yeah.
PTSDs or any scars.
Right.
That it's just, he knows the protection that you have for him.
Right.
You'll go down with you will not go down with that ship. You will just hold him up forever and always know that the Lord hears that mother's prayers beyond any prayer that there's prayed for.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
It's
Thanks
so,
so
good
much
to hear from you. Where are you from?
Louisiana.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love Louisiana. It's so beautiful.
It is. It's a beautiful, beautiful state.
Yeah. Call any time or give me an email. Let me know what's going on.
Thank you
so much. It goes on my profile page.
Oh, thank you so much, Miss Kathy. Have a blessed evening.
Have a blessed Easter as well.
Oh, yes, yeah, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Yes.
Bye-bye. So everyone, we're just going to all light a candle for Tim, and each person lights the candle beside them, and it keeps continuing on. That light will shine in her son's life forever and ever and ever in that family. You know, each of us have a gift, right? Now, what do you do with your gift? What is your gift, you ask? Well, there's so many gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's up to us to find out which one it is that we have. Faithfully administering to God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as if you're speaking the very words to God, as if you're speaking right to God when you speak out. And God provides us with so many things to praise. Through Jesus Christ, to him the glory be the power and the glory forever. And if we keep this in our hearts and give this unique special gift out to other people, just think of how much better we will feel about as ourselves, you know, instead of being so self-centered within ourselves. Now, I was looking at The Passion of Christ a while ago. That's the last movie that Dad and I watched together as a family. I couldn't watch it, parts of it. I did what I could, you know, to be with my dad. But Passion of Christ was the hardest movie for me to watch. Here you got a man that walked this earth that just wanted to preach the good. And he wanted to tell about the good of the world and God. And he got stoned, he got ridiculed, he got, I don't know, just so many things happened to Jesus along the way. He picked up some disciples, he called them different names, like I was telling you last week, what is your spiritual name? Like Simon, Peter, okay, what about Thomas? What about Paul and Saul? What happened to Paul? How did he become Saul from Paul? What is that reference to? You know, he saw Jesus was going down the road, and Saul was a big old mean old, oh, you couldn't get any burrier, or, you know, that bury man. You couldn't even get any meaner than Saul was. And Jesus said, you know what? He was going, he said, you're going to jail. You're going to prison. And he said, you just wait, I'm going to kill you and your followers. And he, right about that time, he didn't have that many disciples. He said, you will now be blind. And he placed his hands to where he was blind. He says, now you've got to go to Barnabas' house. And it was 2 days away. And he says, when you get to Barnabas' house, then Barnabas will put mud clay on your eyes, and then you will be able to see. And until then, maybe you'll be understanding that there are miracles out here to happen. There are things out here for us to do. I'm here to tell about my Father. I'm here to preach the word of goodness and have the Beatitudes that came from there. And Saul got all the way to Barnabas' house. Barnabas put mud clay on his eyes. A few little while later, Saul could see, and there came Jesus to visit him. And he became one of Jesus' main disciples, Paul did. He wrote Corinthians and so many things in the Bible. He said in Corinthians, the last enemy of life is death. That's the last enemy of life, is our death of our bodies. Because while we're here on this earth, we suffer so much. But is the suffering necessary? Do we not cause the suffering ourselves in our own world? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, people that are living in tents from losing their house that always paid their mortgage on time, or, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm talking about literal suffering, you know, with diseases and infections and stuff. But look at it. Look at it like I do, just for a second. Take your kaleidoscope that's in your eye, where all those little colors flip all around. That's the perspective that we usually get looking around of other people, places, and things along the way. But just hold it still at one spot in a kaleidoscope. Now, what do you see? Look at the colors. Think of a color. That perspective is exactly what it's supposed to be. We are right where we're supposed to be all the time. And we're right where we placed ourselves. We're never lost. We're always found. But the thing is that human conditioning is what causes the chaotic and the diseases and the illness and the homelessness and the anger and the rage and all that stuff combined that happens, just like my cousin's daughter getting run over and killed today by somebody that was so mad, losing a temper. I don't know the whole story, and I'm not going to go into it, but not being able to control your temper is a really hard thing on the others in the world. And it all boils down to control. We feel like we're losing control of something. And when we feel like we're losing control of something, we'll do anything to grab on to anybody and anything in order to gain that control back. And that's the thing, that's where the ego, there's that good, healthy ego that keeps us, you know, protected of ourselves, but then there's that childish ego that acts out, you know, that child within ourselves, the insecurities. When people act out and start talking about other people, the gossip, you know, gossip, it can really ruin a person. But if you look at the other person that the gossip's about, which I don't even listen to gossip, but if you think about a person having to go to that extreme to gossip about someone or to set up someone, let me give you an example. I was meeting some friends last Friday for the first time in 20-something years, maybe 30 years. And I asked a friend of mine to go along. And she said, for several weeks, because they do it every week, she said every week she has something to do. And I just left it alone. I did not call her back. And I just said, whenever you're ready, we'll go. And so this woman that I was friends with back in the 80s, just became my friend, you know, just showed herself again at my daughter's wedding last year. So I haven't really gotten to know this woman. But she reached out towards me. She helped me when my house was destroyed. She gave me some clothes and stuff like that. She's always been a nice person. I just didn't know her personality per se. Okay, well, you know, I was getting ready to go, and I was laying down to take a nap first because I've got this thyroid problem. And she called me, I know, 12 times. I've got three cell phones. I've got three phone numbers. She called me on all of them. And just the messages I just got last night, because I just checked them, but they were like, just so hard. Like, why are you leaving me hanging? No, 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 no. When I told her that I'd call her when it was time to go. And I guess she had anxiety meeting these people that she didn't know. Well, I didn't know them either. I knew one other person. The moral of the story being, she was to ride with me, and we were to go together. And I said, yeah, that'll feel good, because then that way we both will feel good to be together to walk in. I was trying to make her feel a little more secure. And me, I don't meet a stranger. I can walk in a crowded elevator and be facing the elevator where you can't even turn around. And I would be saying, well, I guess you wonder why I called this meeting here today. Hey, what's your name? You know, that's just the personality I have. I was trying to make her feel a little more secure. by saying, yeah, we'll walk in together. So she decides that she's going to go first. So she goes on, and she gets there first. Well, I live a little farther away than South Carolina than she does, but she lives in that same town. And she had told all those people about a lot of my personhood, about me personally. She had also made me out to be a weak person, very insecure, very scared to walk in by myself, very anxious and anxiety. I don't know what all she said. It all came out after I got there, but I just want to say, look at, she would even say, what are you wearing? Don't put on any makeup. Don't make yourself look pretty. You know, that kind of thing. I got to thinking about this. It made others look at me in a different manner. Because I did. The whole place stopped and did not talk. And every eye was on me. And everyone was whispering behind my back. And I thought, you know, they only knew how intuitive I was. Now, one person there did know how intuitive I was, besides the woman that went. And I thought, I walked in. At first, I just said, hey, everybody, my name's Kathy. You know, and went to everybody and made sure I knew everybody. And I wanted to know a little bit about each person. And make a long story short, I learned something from that. How someone will mirror themselves onto another person, but how is it going to affect me? How am I going to allow it to affect me? It's just like with Jesus getting stoned and shunned and ridiculed. I want to be as Christ-like as I can. Well, that, me making something of myself, being somebody, continuously working, writing, doing art, to get better and better and better, because I'm better than best can be with myself. I don't ridicule myself and I don't condone myself. But that contradicts the sentence before, but always does. Let me just say, others' insecurities are when others start talking about other people. And others have an insecurity due to the fact that it comes from the inside, the child inside. When you were younger, the little child that lives inside of our body, the ones that act out, might act out in a loving manner, might act out in a little stupor, you know, but they act out. So what I did, I'm bouncing again, but this is the same story. What I did, let me see if I've got it. I wrote myself a letter to my wounded inner child. I just started writing. And I told myself a lot of things in this letter. Let me find it, okay, because this is really neat. And I want to thank my friend for acting and behaving that way, because it got me a chance to look at how that person just needs a little more love. Because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give that person a little more love. But they need to love themselves like I learned to love me. Okay, let me find it. Okay, here it is. This is November the 9th, 2002, at 4 o'clock p.m. Dear Kathy, yourself, the only one you have is accountable for. I forgive you for all of your past trespasses. You have sinned against yourself. You have sinned against your mother, your father, your siblings, your entire family, especially Jason, Ashley, and Matthew. Those are my children. Marty, all Marty's family, your friends, your strangers, old and new relationships, all people in the past, and ultimately, God Almighty, who has already forgiven you and washed you with pure as snow and remembers your sins no more. You have asked all of your sins to be forgiven by God. As you have remembered and relived each one, naming each one out loud to God and rebuking the evil where there has been evil passed into that situation. It has been by blinding and loosing the enemy up and casting it to the pits of burning hell and fire and brimstone for eternity as far as the east is to the west, that you are now free. You have carried your cross, and you have pleaded the blood of Jesus Christ upon yourself, inside and outside, throughout every field and every cell placed your sin has been. You have continuously placed an armor of the Lord Jesus Christ on, and you feel the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. Within and without of yourself, all around, you continue to bless your home with the blood of Jesus Christ and ask protection of the holy angels that guard you and your children, animals and family, and home all around. God is the true word, and you are continuing to seek wisdom, knowledge, and guidance to learn to grow. As you have strived to give up your will for His will to be done, Kathy, you have prayed continuously to let go, especially all of the past memories of pain. But with pain and negativity that you get in your life, those are the past issues. We have a new, fresh beginning for others as well as yourself. Although you have forgiven those who have trespassed against you and asked forgiveness of others, of your trespassers, and God, it is still with you. God is speaking to you now to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself, Kathy, for all the things known and unknown. To forgive yourself and give yourself a break. Something could be helped. Some things couldn't be helped. In all things they lay in your sins and lay them at the cross. Forgiveness comes from within. Others forgive you. You must forgive yourself first. I forgive myself. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Tassie. This is Noella from Canada.
Hello. Who's speaking?
It's Noella.
Suella?
Yeah, I'm calling from Canada. I just wanted to share a prayer with you.
Oh, thank you, Suella.
I'm a little nervous reading it because I've never heard of this prayer.
It's just like you and I talking on the phone, darling.
Okay.
You'll be in right here one-on-one.
Okay. This is sort of an Easter prayer, but it's for everyone.
Okay.
It's called the Jelly Bean Prayer, and it's for
the
spiritual
jelly bean prayer?
Yeah, just like little jelly beans that you eat. It's an Easter sort of prayer.
Do you have a computer on or anything behind you?
Yes, I do, but that's where I'm reading
it. If you turn that off, it'll be real crisp, you know,
okay,
for me to hear you.
All right. Well, what I'll do is, unfortunately, the prayer is on the computer.
I mean, you need to turn the sound off.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will.
Just turn the sound off on the computer.
Okay. Hold on. Sorry about that, Tassie. Is that
but
better?
Last week, I didn't notice this until last week's caller, and I couldn't hardly hear her.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you good.
Okay. I hope it doesn't take too much time. It's only got four verses.
You take all the time you want.
Okay.
This is your time as well as mine.
Oh. Well, here's your jelly bean prayer. Red is for the blood He gave. Green is for the grass He made. Yellow is for the sun so bright. Orange is for the edge of night. Black is for the sins that were made. White is for the grace He gave. Purple is for the hour of sorrow. Pink is for the new tomorrow. Give a bag full of jelly beans, colorful and sweet. Tell them it's a prayer, it's a promise, it's an Easter treat. That's your jelly bean prayer.
Isn't
that
sweet?
I hope you like it.
Jelly.
Oh, good.
I love jelly beans.
Good.
Oh, that's so great.
Well, thank you, Tassie. I just wanted to share and wish everyone a happy Easter out there and send my blessings.
Oh, thank you, Colin.
And good luck tomorrow.
It's so great to hear from you. Call again soon.
Thank you, Tassie.
And I'll pray for you and your family as well.
Oh, and I'm praying for you.
Okay, thank you.
And your family. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The jelly bean prayer. Oh. Okay, let me get back to, I'm almost finished with my letter to myself. Because I forgive myself of all my sins from the moment past, of all the hurts that let down and disappointed, especially myself. So I can let go of the past, of love, of the the past and love myself and trust myself more and free myself from pain and infliction of the memories that I have cast upon myself. I surrender myself to myself now. I wash myself of all my sins and I embrace myself with love and acceptance. That's a promise from God. As I have written this letter to myself to remind myself, if I try to grab on again, that I have let go of myself and surrendered all to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Christ, the Holy Spirit, in order to move out of the way and let Him do the work through me with a clean vessel for the Lord. I pray for all the world of protection. And that is to me, Kathy. Amen.
Don't think to write yourself a letter sometimes. Sometimes it helps to clarify the air.
Because if you think about it, this man loved us so much that he carried a cross. He got a big old crown of thorns put on his head. He would not falter because he believed that much. He needed and was going to let die for our sins so that we could see that what God was as an image, because people needed to see an image in order to solve the mystery. So he represented all of humankind, and he was the Son of God coming down, carrying that cross and being up there crucified, turned in by a friend, but for just a few little dollars to Pontius Pilate, one of his disciples that he knew that was going to happen, and he said on the cross, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Now, isn't that something? And when he, on the third day, rose again, the Holy Spirit, he brought as a gift to each of us. For whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Holy Spirit is our gift. And the Holy Spirit lives in us. And call upon the Holy Spirit at any given time. Sometimes I have to ask the Holy Spirit to pray for me because his words are so deep and my feelings are so deep, I myself don't know what to say. And when I had my hip replacement, my groans were so deep when I got moved. It was deeper than childbirth. But I turned to the Bible and I opened it up to Romans 6:24, and it says there that sometimes the Holy Spirit will groan so deeply for us for the things that we have to bear. And that's so true. If we just focus, just like the Lamaze method, when we pant blow, I know you guys out there don't know what I'm talking about, and some of you people that, you know, haven't gone through Lamaze, but when I was having my children, I didn't want to have any drugs placed upon my body or in my body. And so I learned when your body is ready to push out a baby, it wants to push it out. No matter what, you can't get it to stop. But if you do a pant blow method, which is it's like you three and then a whoosh, you can't do anything with your body. Your body can't push. But if we do that, that's like a mantra. If you think Jesus is the light, when things get in your head and you start wanting to think about what somebody said or what so-and-so did or what's causing this thing or what, am I going to get that job or am I going to get that raise, if you do some and say at the same time, light, light, or Jesus, or love, or blessing, or abundance, just get one word and just focus on it. Nothing can go in your mind, you see. It can't. Only because we're focusing that hard on that one word and breathing that one way that it relaxes your body, it relaxes your mind and thoughts. And when you completely finish, kind of puts you in a trance-like state. When you come back out of it, I'm going to tell you what, it wasn't as bad as it looked the whole time. Now, the call-in numbers are on the front page. If you want to call in and give a prayer request or a request for Easter or just an Easter story, We have a few. I'm going to give out some numbers in case somebody's in the background, you know, at a person's house just sitting and listening to the show. It is 888-815-9756. That's worldwide. Station 1's number, direct line, is 530-876-3222. So you can give a call, give me a shout. It would be great to hear from you. And that's what it's all about. You people are what it's all about, you listeners, and the people that listen to the archives. That's what it's all about. You know, have you ever thought about the arguing, little picker-packer arguing? Now, it's just like the colors of a crayon. Which color of the crayon is going to get picked up? You know, the colors of the crayons quarreled. Born of purple is the lavender. It is so violet, violet, light with its rays. It's such a way that which I choose for God of my understanding to guide me and direct me and shield me and drive me. As a passenger on wayward world of a very tired and weary journey, if I had to travel it alone, that's like the color purple to me. And it's also a feeling that if I'm the passenger on this wayward world and I'm not so weary because I have God driving, only for a moment in the day, humankind, today, just today's way. Let me just tell you some reasons of the conclusions of why. I have seen the outcome of my insanity's clauses by driving haphazard in my directions, going on detours along the way of my life, roads that passed me by that I should have been on, and sightseeing when I should have been paying attention. Think of yourself as a car, and you're driving. If you're driving on a journey, and you miss the turn because you're reading the billboards or whatever, what if you ask Jesus to come inside? Just ask Jesus, say, I'm a sinner, I want my sins washed away, and I believe that you're the Son of God, and you died for my sins to save me, to have eternal life, to be risen again when it's time. Think of that. It's so simple. Or just say, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. And you get the Holy Spirit as your gift, the Comforter. And passion. What is passion? It is born first as number one, the simplest first creation of the senses. Again and again, all things have their opposites. As the passion is passionately with birth, love is its opposite of hatred, right? That's what I was saying earlier. Within the secret shadows that they hold and burst and build up, feelings are brought forth and spill over, and people start acting as they were told. Now, with Jesus in your life, you get this different feeling. It's a feeling that only you're going to be able to gain and understand. I have my own. But I just want to say another prayer. I want to pray out to each and every person. I just want to pray for each person that has been placed on this earth or has been left from this earth, that has walked on this earth, or even those babies that have not even come into this world. I just want to pray for compassion and the passion that is left inside of each person's soul, spirit, mind, body. I want to just pray that each one, before they speak out, speaks a name and a blessing, speaks a thought and a blessing of positiveness. If I just give a blessing to each person, Lord, that I'm thinking of, the whole universe, every entity as a grain of salt is each person that represents on this earth. And I just give them over to you to look at, and we thank you for being on this earth, for us to have something to focus on and to know by and to live by and to know that you've given us a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, with the Holy Spirit that I have in me, people ask me to give them a reading or what I see, feel, or do. It's the Holy Spirit speaking for me. If I get up every morning and I say, Lord, speak for me, think for me, do for me in every way, shape, and form,
remove all people, places, and things that are not healthy for me and bring in people, places, and things that are good and healthy for me. I have a much better day and time. And then I'm more discerned over the people that need to be in my life. Sometimes people are in our lives for a good long while. I had to let go of several friends that were childhood friends from birth because they were not healthy for me in my life. They ridicule or they condone or whatever they needed to do to feel better about themselves. And it's because I don't care what other people think about me. It's none of my business. But the thing is when, this is the thing, when you become and become involved in yourself with God, it's a peace. It's a peace I can't explain. It's the smoothest peace that you could ever fathom because it's a love that endures deeper than anything you've ever felt in your life. And I don't know what I would do without it. I don't know how people live without that feeling because I know that if I fall, then he's going to catch me. And no matter what happens with me on this earth, if I have that faith, then I know I'm going to get to heaven to be with my loved ones again one day. What's the purpose of life? What becomes the call? Do the things formed in its existence at the beginning of its passions, reasons, and meanings? There's always a purpose. And the purpose is our number one cause. All things of our purpose in us, we forget the meaning of our reasons. You know, what were we here for this reason? Our passion, the birth, that first part of our birth, the passion of the breathing and our heart beating. For if God gave us choices of free will, and all those many choices given to us, in this day, that's if we seize the day that is forgotten. But today is such a gift. Each day is such a gift, each moment. We overwhelm it into our wheelbarrow of remembrance, so be forgotten. Because there's so many pleasant things we want to remember. But if we don't give in to those negative vibes, we don't give in to the person hollering at us or demanding us or trying to control us, if we just say, right then, in our minds, light, 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 and just take a moment, or snap your finger when the person's, you know, trying to control you or whatever. Say a word, a simple sentence like this: I hear what you're saying, and I will take that into consideration. Now, how can anyone argue with that sentence? They don't know whether you're going to take what they said or what you're not, but they know that you hear what they are saying. The thing is that we try to look into tomorrow's future so much, and in our yesterday past, dwelling up, that we want to fix it. And so we're going to look into tomorrow's future and get forgetting the simple lesson that will truly last, and that is this karma. Is what you say magnified and sticks back onto you like a bonded glue. I want to ask you this too, listeners. You can be karma, a karma vehicle. You can carry around other stuff and let it be baggage that becomes your own. It's like a fix. It's pitiful junk. A quick fix, you know. A lot of people are addicted to worrying and fretting and what if, and because that's all they know. And it's a habit you gotta break. But just living in the moment and saying, light, light, Jesus is the light. Just stop and listen to your inside thoughts of just seeing inside your head and your heart that light, that beautiful fire of the Holy Spirit. And you want to take the blame for others sometimes, but really it agitates you and it aggravates you when you take the blame. And it's like a fire that ranges out and explodes into another person. Not even the person that was blaming you or causing you to feel that way, but it projects onto the next person that's in your life. And it has nothing to do with that person at all, but we act out against another person for what someone else has placed on us. That's a vehicle of karma. We're carrying around someone else's junk in our vehicle, which is our bodies, our minds, and we're carrying it around, and then we act out towards another person that it has nothing to do with. Take things wrong, read in wrong into situations and stuff. But what I do is I carry my cross each and every day. I am on my knees, and I carry that cross. And I dismiss the people that are in my life that cause me chaos and that they have own issues of their own selves. And the people that shun me in my own immediate family because they are so ashamed at how they behaved and acted. That's okay because they have to live that way. I don't have to live that way. And my family's huge. It has hundreds of people in it. But there's certain ones that they don't talk to me. They're silent. They ignore me. They don't call me back. They don't answer my emails because they have their own issues about their own self. It's not me, and I had to learn that. It's not me. I'm not that powerful. If I was that powerful to be renting space in that person's head and having them think about me so much they have to ignore me, think how hard that is. Think of the energy that that person spends. I just choose to remove myself from it, not go around the situation or the people, places, and things that do that to me because they really, to be honest, think about it. I look at it like, maybe they don't deserve to be around me. Not that I'm better than them, but I need respect. I've never spoken a harsh word towards anyone, and I do not lie. And if I have, I've colored things slightly different, but that's the only thing, and I've learned by looking at that. My family knows that I do not lie. What I do is I bring out the raw truth of that person, and it hurts them. Because I speak the truth about what they're acting out as and what they've done and what they are saying, projecting onto me. I'll just raw truth it back to them. And people can't handle it. They don't have the thick skin. They aren't living within with God of their understanding. They call themselves Christians, and that's what gives Christians a bad name. Because people call themselves Christians and then can act in such a condoning, harsh manner towards other people. How would you get to heaven if you can treat a family member with such shunning and silence and hurt? I don't know. Even a human being, how can you get to heaven? The road to heaven is narrow. We have to be as Christ-like as we possibly can. I'm not saying who's going to get to heaven or who's not, because I don't know. I don't judge ye not lest ye be judged. But I got to say one thing, and then I got to get off the air. Pluck the log out of your own eye before you pluck the little splinter out of your brother's eye. And with that, I'm going to ask if I can, let me get a piece of music to close the show with, if I got it here, because it's my uncle's. He is good at it. Let me get my little iTunes up here. Let's see. Let me find one. Where is Uncle Ronnie's music? Uncle Ronnie, where are you when I need you? Well, Seth, if you could play a little bit of devotion, that would be great. Because I have like 2 minutes left. If you could just close the show with that devotion, that would be great. Everyone have a wonderful Easter. I hope you dial some eggs with your children. And even if you don't have children, dial some Easter eggs. I say dial for die. Make yourself happy and go hide them in the little grass. Stay in the moment, breathe, do the pant blow method, and forgive yourself first. Then go to others and ask forgiveness if it's the right way that you can. And then go to God and ask forgiveness because He's already forgiven you if you've forgiven yourself and others. And with that said, happy Easter, and I'm off the air.